The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Top of the morning to you. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio is here. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone, and you can find us on Twitter at Mark Skurs, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at Hail Varsity. And can always tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Well, it's been a week of recruiting. We'll spend plenty of time on that and get into it here this hour and next. Our rewind segment with Husker Hall of Famer Ralph Brown. Ralph all over this class, and he shared some thoughts with us on who Nebraska got. Next hour, 1 hour from now, we'll run down Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, puts his Santa hat on, and he'll be with us around 8:30. Greg Smith is en route to some family gatherings, so he will not be available. I am very sad about that, but we'll talk plenty of recruiting in this class for the first part of 2018. Morning, Kranak. How are you, bud?
You know, I am doing well, brother. I have looked at so much huddle film, it's ridiculous.
So you had the old desk light on, you have your notepad out, you've been scribbling John Gruden style for each prospect Nebraska signed. Now you have 14 total, a couple of guys that are stragglers that'll sign in February, but I think that Nebraska and Coach Frost and I go back to Wednesday with his teleconference. He's excited. He thinks they're great players. Well, I'm using the word great. But he is, first and foremost, just here's the line in the sand. Look, we did well. We evaluated. It's been unique because you had 3 weeks to get it handled with both duties going on.
Totally, yeah.
And here's what we think. We think we have some pretty good players, but let's not overhype it. And that's been his... that's been the staunchest message so far that's rang through to me is don't overhype. I think he gets sick of the hype associated with recruiting. And Nebraska's going to win by not out-recruiting, but by out-developing. That's been his message, and I like hearing that. Getting a ready-made dude is nice, but it's less likely in a lot of programs. You can't bank on that. It comes down to the hard work, development, and that culture that's being set. So I'm really excited. Wednesday, the Hail Varsity radio show had a number of kids that signed and some of their coaches as well. Cam Jurgens was a lot of fun to chat with. Adrian Martinez, we were blessed enough to talk with, and he's extremely impressive off-field as much as on-field. And then kind of the cherry on top, start with this, Kranak, Will Honus, the linebacker. I think that's just monstrous for Nebraska.
Yeah, I like him a lot. You know, and he's one of the – out of the 14 guys that are committed, 12 have signed.
Right.
There's two other guys that have committed. 8 out of those 14 – we're not even on anybody's radar 3.5 weeks ago for Nebraska. So it gives you an idea of how much the relationships that this incoming staff had developed and who they've targeted, because these were not people that had visited Nebraska, who were considering Nebraska, who even had offers from Nebraska, 8 of the 14. So it's a complete flip, and did that in less than a month and got some good ones. And Honus would have to top that list. If you haven't watched his film, do yourself a favor and do it. He's a linebacker, right? Like in every sense of the word, and that's what stands out the most when you watch him is, like, when you think of a linebacker, you think of a dude that really doesn't care about his own safety or well-being. You think about a dude that closes and does so with bad intentions and just hits. I mean, he loves hitting. It's obvious. And he's got good enough speed. He'll be in that and probably one of those inside linebacker spots. And frankly, out of all the guys that were signed, he's the one guy that I'm shocked if he does not start. I mean, I'm fully expecting him to start, grab one of those spots. If not by week one, then definitely by week three or something like that. It's as long as he can figure out the defense physically, he's exactly what you want at that linebacker spot. Very, very aggressive player. Frankly, something Nebraska has been missing for a while.
Well, and you mentioned his ability to start. He's the guy that'll want to come in and earn it. But from an understanding, and we spoke with Butler linebacker coach Woodall yesterday, and Will Honus is a 4-0 guy, okay? So you got the brains behind the brawn, the understanding, and that's very likely. And he's versatile, and he's a guy that is good in coverage, really good against the run. The football IQ slash instincts for him is what is off the chart. And it's the type of guys that you've seen go ruin your fourth quarter for Wisconsin or Iowa if you're a Nebraska fan, okay? It's that type of guy that they have on a defense to plug in. Now, on the interior at linebacker, I think there's some really nice upside with, but you haven't seen a whole body of work with it. When you look at the Mo Berry, Avery Roberts didn't do much as far as, you know, linebacker snaps. So you have some options, but you're not forcing younger guys.
Dedrick Young, I think has been playing out of position.
Right.
I think that's a guy that should be on the inside.
Right. Dedrick's been going after it, but there's been ups and downs with him. And now you have another body that's a really talented body. The only reason he ended up at Butler is because he had a knee injury his senior year of high school. He had an ACL. So he ends up going to Butler through family connections, and Nebraska comes in and seals it. And credit to Barrett Root, credit to Ryan Held, credit to Nebraska being able to get in there and then just get the close, because it would have been real. I mean, you know how hairy it was as you're waiting on Honus to decide. He shot a text to me Wednesday night going, look, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because Wisconsin comes in, and if you're a linebacker, you're going to listen to Wisconsin. And then from a timing standpoint, things get screwed up because from a paid visit, January 12th's the next open date. Well, that's a few days after school starts in Lincoln. So it was getting a bit tenuous, but Nebraska got the close. And that's a high five to Barrett Rood when you see him, Ryan Held, and a huge get for Nebraska. And the thing I like, too, as we kind of wrap here on Honus, is it's not – you talk about him being physical and the prototype Big Ten linebacker, but his feet are what set him apart. There's – how many times have you seen – just you watch a linebacker and you see a big run play pop, right? And you saw a lot of big run plays pop last fall, and it was just two or three steps the wrong direction by pick somebody. And if you got the football IQ plus the footwork, maybe you're stopping for a no gain or a minus one. I mean, that would be exciting.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't overcommit, at least from the highlights that you've seen.
Right.
He waits until he's sure, but when he's sure, it's over. Right? Like, he's going 100 miles an hour as soon as he's sure, but he's not just recklessly shooting gaps. So he's impressive. And he's also mentioned 8 of the 14 are new guys that were not on the radar. 8 of the 14 are also early enrollees. And so he's one of those guys, and he will be here in January.
That is good. Let's go to the quarterback, Adrian Martinez. Lots been written about. He's talked to a number of folks. And between his coach's comments to us and Adrian speaking with us, super humble but super focused at wanting to go in, and he used the word earn a lot, as in earn respect, show his leadership ability, but not come in entitled, not come in acting like it's his. He is all about trying to go win it, earn it, and then be that leader. And I'm excited just watching him, how well he does things from a fit standpoint. And when Frost comes out, and Frost is so anti-hype for him to say, look, I've evaluated all the quarterbacks, and this was my favorite. That was pretty mind-blowing for him to divulge that, but he's being pretty straight with you on what he thinks about Martinez's upside in the offense, in the tempo system, being able to run, being able to throw, and then being able to process. I mean, think of this offense. If they're snapping with 8 to 10 seconds, and it's the blur offense, and you need to get the ball out, and you've seen the quarterbacks that have thrived, be it Milton or Mariota, in short order. I mean, yeah, they were up and running and playing at a high level, but they never just kind of plateaued. They kept getting better. We got a short window, 2 years through Milton, and then you have a long body of work and a Heisman season for Mariota. I mean, yeah, fit's so important. You talk about it, but if you get an elite skill set with the fit at that difference-making spot at quarterback, game over for a lot of teams, and that'll separate you if you're even. Nebraska v. pick a squad. What puts you over the top? It's always been quarterback.
So he's got that prototypical size. He's 6'3". He's about 200. He's also an early enrollee. The thing you notice about him the most is he's sort of effortless. He's one of those kind of players.
He's a graceful glider.
Right, just smooth, right? Not herky-jerky. You know, doesn't have a ton of wiggle, but it's sort of like everything is kind of slow for him. Mm-hmm. Everything's slowed down for him in general. And when he throws it, I mean, the ball really comes off. So I would say, I'm not saying he's as accurate or as polished of a thrower as Tanner Lee, but you know when Tanner Lee uncorks one, lets one go with a little bit of loft, maybe 40 yards downfield, it just jumps off his hand, mm-hmm, right? Very similar to Adrian Martinez. He's a gifted thrower. This guy can really throw. And then when he runs, He's probably high 4.5s, low 4.6, around there. But he gets out. He's got the long strides. He's got a little bit of wiggle to him. But again, not herky jerky. And that's a huge part of it is the thing you notice when you're watching the blur offense quite a bit is because you're spread out so often. You're always in some sort of spread formation. When plays break down, that's a lot of times when you see, it's not necessarily the designed runs, that's part of it, but it's when plays break down, there's always green space. And if your quarterback has some idea of how to run the football, has some speed, you're going to pick up 4 to 7 yards just by virtue of running to the open green space because there's plenty of it. So that bodes very well for Nebraska. You have a guy that can take advantage of that. If he's looking around, there's nothing there, he can pull it down and gain 4 to 7. And then, you know, if he shakes a guy, could even be a longer run. So I think he does fit perfect. Now, I hesitate to think that he's going to be a guy that actually starts this year. Just because, there is some good research on HailVarsity.com about Derek Peterson did it about how much do true freshmen actually play at quarterback? They really don't. it just doesn't happen. It's very rare that you turn it over to a true freshman. But he'll have that opportunity for sure.
I think Nebraska's situation, though, is a little, there's more of an open door for it just because of the fit and the confidence you have with a guy like Martinez. But I mean, it's ground zero for everybody coming in.
Totally. Yeah.
And
yeah,
from an experience standpoint, I mean, we don't know what Tanner's going to do, but we all think we know what Tanner's going to do. And that's probably look at the NFL. Yeah. So you have
grad transfer. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And we'll see if that shakes out too, but you have O'Brien who's your most experienced quarterback. I mean, he's played game snaps. And then you have Jebbia, who's a quick processor, a guy that studies, and then he is the little window we saw in a spring game wasn't really phased. So I get what you're saying, but with everyone starting with this offense come spring, you got a guy that's been in it. I know it's been a year away of ball because of the labrum for Martinez. So you might be right. He may not start. But this situation is unique because the guys on campus haven't played in this system ever.
Yeah. Look, Frost, I think, though, out of the guys you mentioned, I think Patrick O'Brien's a dark horse just because I think he would be such a he'd be a unique body type for this kind of offense. And he can run a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's got the statue, you know, drop back size, but he can actually run. And if somehow Frost can tap into that, that gives you a whole different element, there. So there's a chance that I think he has. And then Jebbia, everybody saw him. Mm-hmm. He's quick twitch. He can, you know, I think he's a fit for this offense. I think Nebraska is better off at quarterback than
a lot of folks think. Yeah.
The only guy that doesn't fit is Tanner Lee. And that guy has an NFL arm. So, you know, who knows? And there could be value in that, too. You never know. Frost could come in and be like, you know what? This guy's such a gifted thrower that we just have to modify our offense for him. You know, who knows? He'll have options. He's not walking in with no options where right. where it's just, you know, desolate. That's not the case at all.
Deonte Williams, man, he's got 3 years. He's a JUCO. He's pretty versatile. And watching his film, what's your thoughts on it? But I was just pretty amazed at there's guys in the secondary who, if they've done their homework or they're just God-given athletes, they make wonderful breaks on the football. They go tackle. They're sure tacklers. And if they're playing fast, man, they are two or three steps ahead of an offense, and they can really blow up some plays. Williams' highlights show that. They're supposed to. They're highlights. But yeah. It's been a while since Nebraska's had a pretty big-time dog as a sure tackler in the secondary. You get one of those, kind of the rover type, that extra linebacker or a guy that can be in coverage, that's a huge shot in the arm for you.
That's another hitter, you know, behind Honus. And it's the sort of the theme that you're seeing of the guys that they're going after defensively. Some of the new offers is they're highlight hitters. And Nebraska, frankly, doesn't have a ton of those right now. You have some good players. I'm not saying you don't have good players. But you don't have dudes that instill fear with their crushing blows that they deliver. You know, at least you haven't seen it. Maybe that's within them, but how many just big hits did you see last year? Right?
You didn't.
You just flat out didn't see them. Deonte Williams delivers those. Kind of reminds you of Damian Stafford in that way.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Alarius Asante. He's a headhunter.
You'd take either of those guys at safety, I think.
Yeah, he wants to separate you from the ball. He wants to separate your feet from the ground, and that's what he does. I think that's another guy that finds his way into the starting lineup really early. He's another early enrollee, good player, good physical player that is not afraid of contact. And God knows Nebraska needs that, especially in the secondary.
Last thought here on some of the early enrollees, the signees. As we're talking recruiting here this morning on Hail Varsity Radio, early signing period, part one done for Nebraska as they'll load up for February. Greg Bell, how big a smile on your face did you get watching Greg Bell highlights?
You know, if I can be honest, I think he's solid. He didn't jump out to me as incredible or amazing. He really didn't to me. I think he's nice.
What were you hoping to see?
What's that?
So what? Okay. Give me a reference point. A back that you go, wow. When's the last time you've had a back you go, whoa, for Nebraska?
Yeah. Well, right.
Amir?
It's been a while. Well, yeah. We probably have to go there. Yeah. I didn't see that from him. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good athlete. I think he catches the ball out of the backfield. But I didn't see – he's good. But I just didn't see necessarily somebody that sheds tackles amazingly or jukes the hell out of people or has incredible breakaway speed. I think he has all of that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think he's well-rounded in that way. But is he remarkably better – than what you saw on film from like a Mikael Wilbon coming out of high school? No. Is he remarkably better than what you see out of Trey Bryant? No. I don't think so anyways. So I think he'll be in the mix. I'm not sure he's some sort of savior at the position though. But maybe he will be. Maybe he'll work. You know, maybe he'll have that Amir attitude to where he can't be denied. But the way I see the running back position shaking out is I think you have some questionable body types at Nebraska right now. I think Mikael Wilbon, his body doesn't look right, on offense. And I think once you get into Zach Duvall's system, I think you'll see him shed a lot of weight, become a lot quicker. I think Muhammad Berry defensively is another guy like that. He doesn't look right, you know. So I can see. I wouldn't judge what you saw from Mikael Wilbon this year to what you'll see next year, because I think within him is enough quickness and speed and ability to catch the ball and all that to be a factor. I think Greg Bell's a good get, but I don't think he's an unquestioned, hell yeah, he's starting day one, everybody else head to the bench.
Okay, that's completely fair. I just want options if you're a Nebraska fan with this offense, being able to catch the ball, go line up in the slot, go line up next to the quarterback, and be able to be a threat in the run game and get some of those yards on short yardage mixed in with the quarterback run diversity and a little option, and then you just smack them with some play action. And look, there's a wide-open LeGrone-ass man running down the seam, Kranak.
Now, I'm totally cool with Katerian LeGrone. He will not be here early, so you probably won't see him next year. But one of the last guys that they got into the fold, he goes about 6'3", 220. He's that kind of flexed out tight end / wide receiver. He's a tweener right now. But that's a dude that jumps out to me. Now, his best offer, this is a little concerning. His best offer besides Nebraska was South Carolina. And besides that, he had a lot of, you know, Tennessee Tech or, you know, these schools that you basically never heard of, maybe Western Kentucky, you know. So he had some decent offers on kind of that lower level FBS. And then his only other FBS was, from what I could find anyway, was South Carolina. So you do wonder about that a little. But LeGrone, man, he's I mean, you go 6'3", 220, and he uses it. He's not just that size, and he just happens to be that size. Like, no, he uses it. He will lower his shoulder. He will stiff arm you. He will box you out. He's a body type that Nebraska flat out does not have. And I think that's a steal out of the class. He's probably my dark horse to be a big time contributor at some point. Probably not early, but or probably not next year. But I could see him even after a year. It looks like he's still got some baby fat on him too. But I think once he gets tuned up, that's another dude.
Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, great to have you in. It's the holiday edition of Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition, as Gary Sharp's coming up in about an hour, a little less than an hour. Brandon Vogel going to be with us. We'll rewind with Husker Hall of Famer, 10-year NFL vet Ralph Brown. Ralph has seen a lot of big-time players doing his work with Fox Sports, covering high school. We'll get his take on this recruiting class. I want to tell you about Madonna Therapy Plus. Maybe you tweak that back or knee or hip, putting the lights up, maybe taking the lights down here in the next couple of weeks. Well, get your life back on track and get rid of that strain, get rid of that pain, and recover faster with Madonna Therapy Plus for physical therapy needs. Skilled therapists using the most advanced technology will get you the results you need to get back on the trail, back on the court, or back into life. In 10 years and counting for Madonna Therapy Plus, voted Lincoln's number one choice for physical therapy, plus three convenient locations, three in Lincoln, one in West Omaha, to get all your needs covered with physical therapy. Log on today and do yourself a favor with Madonna. therapyplus.org. A quick timeout. We'll rewind with Ralph Brown next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. And it's always great to get caught up with Husker Hall of Famer, 10-year NFL vet, and we love seeing him on Twitter and catching up with him on Hail Varsity. Ralph Brown. Ralph, you're wearing a Santa hat right now.
Yeah, actually, figuratively I am, because I'm still doing a little bit of shopping, trying to finish up today. So you could say I still am, yeah.
All right, so it's Santa Ralph. Well, good. Well, we'll need that that selfie, the literal selfie of Ralph in that Santa hat. But Coach Frost and company doing some work, right, when it comes to the early signing period. And I've enjoyed your social media rundown on Nebraska's class so far. And they got Justin McGriff today, the three-star wideout. And Ralph, when you look at this class and when you look at the 12 early signees, what's your immediate impression of the kids Scott brought in?
I think he filled some important needs on the offense and defensive side of the ball. They got some good gets. And let me start with Adrian Martinez. That was a huge get. He's a four-star high school quarterback. He didn't play his senior year because of a torn labrum in his throwing arm, but he has all the skill set and intangibles to basically be a part of Scott's system. You heard what Scott said. He was the perfect fit for their offense, and what he brings to the table is just awesome. You get speed at the outside with Jerron Woodyard, that speedster, great, after the catch, great off press. Then you have defense, and they hit a home run with Will Honus, the linebacker, sideline to sideline, devastating player, and they just keep, doing a great job with this whole 12 guys that they signed with Greg Bell, the running back. I mean, he's great in the hole, great vision, has that great breakaway speed also. And I think with Scott Frost and what they're doing, they know exactly the type of player that they want. They like speed, they like length, they like disruptive guys on the defensive side of the ball. And if you look at these 12 guys just in this early signing period, they've hit all those.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Follow him if you don't already. Good recap on some of the early signees. And Ralph, we covered a lot of players right there. I'm going to narrow down on a few and follow up. Let's talk about Adrian Martinez. We had Adrian on Wednesday, and I know you've had a chance to see him doing the work you do with Fox Sports out in L.A. For high school ball. And it's too bad that he missed his senior season, but the kid was a coach on the field. He found other ways to motivate and help his team. When you look at his film and you see his skill set with what Scott has done with previous quarterbacks, we know it's a perfect match. Your thoughts on Martinez maybe coming in and winning the job?
You know what? I really think he can come in and win the job. And the great thing about Scott Frost's offense is it's a system offense. So it'll protect efficiencies in your game so you can help him grow into the system and be a better and more productive quarterback. But Adrian Martinez, he reminds me of a more polished Geno Smith when you saw him in college. He's a great pocket passer, very composed in the pocket, has great touch on the ball, and you'll see him hit every quadrant of the football field with his arm. And he can run as well, and that's the type of quarterback that Scott Frost likes in his offense. And for me, he was a four-star last year, and I truly believe that Scott Frost and this offense and the Huskers are getting a five-star player if he finishes out his senior season.
What do you think is so unique about Scott when it comes to working with quarterbacks? I know his history is there, but that seems to be a big-time connection when you look at Milton, when you look at Mariota. The proof is there, but how do you think Scott connects with his guys behind center?
Well, he just understands there's an internal clock you have to have, and if you buy into their systems and their system and you follow these 3 to 5 steps or whatever his steps are in his system, you will be successful. And you look at these guys in the system with Mariota, what they've done, I think Adrian Martinez can come and do the same if they listen to Troy Walters, they listen to Scott Frost in terms of their system, where they're attacking, what throws they should make, and have that internal clock. When that play breaks down, extend the play and use your legs. They know exactly what they're doing, and that's why you don't have to be a five-star quarterback to be successful in their system. But when you do have a quarterback with the intangibles and skill sets of Adrian Martinez, you're going to see an awesome and miraculous offense march up and down the football field.
Ralph, you're around high school kids, and you see high school ball games. How many offenses do you see that try and mimic, replicate, and mirror what Oregon, what Frost, what UCF have done?
I would say about 90% of the high school football games I call, basically both teams are mirroring each other when it comes to the spread, shotgun, read option, attacking with speed and just throwing the ball outside on the perimeter with these screen plays and jailbreak screens and then trying to hit you down the football field with these seam routes and deep overs. So what Chip Kelly has revolutionized, Scott Frost learned from it, added some tidbits of Coach Osborne to his offense, and I like the combination of when you're watching UCS offense and what you're going to see in Nebraska, that combination of what Osborne taught him, what Helfrich had taught him, and what Chip Kelly has taught him. It's awesome to see, and I'm excited to watch the Huskers and watch UCF in this bowl game as well.
No, that'll be outstanding, and I think there's going to be a lot of red down in Atlanta for Auburn.
Yeah, of course.
Nebraska fans going to be checking that out. Let's talk Will Honus. Earlier today, we had a chance to get caught up with Will's position coach at Butler, and Will's kind of a man of few words, but he is all about action on the field. What wowed you about Honus at linebacker?
He's an attacking style linebacker, very disruptive. I like how he dominates the game. You can tell he's well read and well studied when it comes to the plays that are coming about. He's very disruptive. You know, he disengages very well. He's an A-plus blitzer, and he's one of those guys that's just a leader. He's a man's man on defense. And he's a guy that, to me, honestly, can take over a ball game just by himself.
Does he remind you of anybody you've played with? And again, to couch that question, not trying to overhype, but there are similarities you see in guys' games. Is there a linebacker that he reminds you of?
Well, that's a good one. Honestly, I mean, he reminds me a little of a cross between like a Terrell Farley and a Jamel Williams, like those guys that
really
at the college level. Yeah, he just takes over games. When you watch his film, he's in on almost every tackle. He gets everybody lined up. He's basically calling out some of these plays. He's great in pass protection. He has soft hands, and he has the speed. After he makes the catch, he turns into a running back or a wide receiver, and he can get into the end zone. So he has that speed. He's very disruptive, and he's going to be fun to watch. He's one of those guys that can take over a ball game just by himself with his IQ and the way he plays the game.
Well, and I think one of his three picks was a pick six, and he's tough enough to survive in the Big Ten at linebacker, but he's fast enough. And those are two names Nebraska fans hold in pretty high reverence, and you played with Farley and Jamel, and those guys were basically safeties that were kind of moved up to play the outside backer spot, and They were demons off the edge getting after the quarterback. That's what I'm excited about with Honus. He's a guy, Ralph, that can stop the run, can be decent to good in coverage, right? But you're going to use him as a pass rusher, correct?
Yeah, you're exactly right. He's basically a Swiss Army knife. He can do it all, and he can blitz. He can cover out in space. He's great in zone coverage. He has great field awareness, and that's what you want if you're a defensive coordinator. Guys like this, he's a selfless type of player. He's going to give his all on every play.
A few more minutes here. Ralph Brown with us, Hale Varsity Radio. We're interrupting Ralph's Christmas shopping to talk some Nebraska recruiting at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, let's spend a minute here on two of the edge guys. David Alston out of Minnesota. You played for the Vikings. You know that area well. Tate Wildermans out of Colorado. Tate told us he's going to try and come in around 265 or so and then beef up to 293 bills so he can take and destroy some double teams. But when you look at both of these guys, Alston, he is 6'3 and a freak off the edge, kind of that hybrid. Wilderman looks to be a guy that's going to try and set the edge on the line. What are your thoughts on both of these guys when it comes to run stopping and getting after the quarterback?
Well, if we talk about David Alston, you know, the first thing that pops out to me was his athletic ability. He has tremendous hands. I forget how many interceptions he had, but he had a ton, more than a handful, I think, or somewhere in that nature. But he's great with hand-eye coordination. Great getting after the quarterback. He has a litany of moves, and he's tall. He's always aware. If he can't get to the quarterback, the bat ball's down as well. And he's just very disruptive. He has a high motor, too. And then when you go to Tate Wildermann, this guy, he's just a more physical player than David Alston is. He has a great get-off at the snap of the ball, and he has a motor as well. He tracked down a lot of plays from the backside, and that kind of reminds me of what Grant Wistrom used to do, hunting those plays down from the backside. Jared Thomas, you know, Mike Rucker, all those guys, you should track plays down from the backside. That's what we need at Nebraska. And Tate Wildermann, he puts on that weight. You're going to see a guy who's hungry. He has a high motor and very disruptive. You start putting these guys, this program, the weight lifting program in place with this defense, it's going to be fun to watch.
You know, a guy that is here is Dante Williams. He's got 3 years. He's a JUCO. And you know how thin Nebraska is at corner. I mean, I don't need to tell you that. And he's a guy that can play nickel, can play safety, can play corner. We'll see where Nebraska wants to put him. But what impressed you about Dante Williams?
Just his speed and his confidence is so high when he plays the game. And the one thing I put on my tweet was he has to be careful with the way he hits at the D1 level, because this guy is a missile. I mean, he's a great tackler. He's very explosive. His closing speed is amazing. And he has great just field awareness in terms of getting the football, tracking it in the air, and coming down with it. The one thing I like and I try to pay attention is confidence. How confident are these guys on the football field? How are they acting after the snap? I mean, after they make a play? And this guy is just energy, and guys will feed off of him. And he's one of those guys that I would love to play with if you're on the defense, because he's going to make plays. He's consistent with his tackling. He's a great cover guy as well.
Yeah, Deontre Williams is a good get for Nebraska. Where do you think he maybe fits initially? Do they put him at corner? Do they look at him at safety? Do they do nickel? Where do you think he gets that first look?
I think he's such an explosive hitter. I mean, I think you try him at nickel and corner just because the cornerback spot wasn't solid last year with what we've had. Mm-hmm. You try him out there and you see what happens. And if not, you kind of move him into the nickel spot. But he's a guy that's just aware of the game. He knows how to slip blocks, make tackles, and he's a smart player. You can tell by watching film. You know, but if I'm, you know, the defensive coordinator, Shenander? Is that how you say
Shenander.
His name? Yeah, if I'm Shenander, you know, I start him at corner and nickel and see how he plays from there, just to get him on the field, because they don't have sound corners for next season. That position is up in the air.
Ralph, thought on Bell. I know you touched on him earlier, but what do you think he does in that running back room here for spring ball? I mean, where do you think he fits in comparison to what's already on campus? Is this something he can come in and win and be the primary ball carrier for Nebraska in the offense moving forward?
Yeah, just by watching him on tape, he's the guy, and I don't see why he won't be the starter coming next season with just the way his physicality, the way he attacks the line of scrimmage, and he has tremendous vision in the hole. When he gets the ball, if the hole's not there, he finds the right place to go to every time. He'll go lateral and get north-south very quickly, and once he gets in the open space, he has that breakaway speed, and that's the one thing that I was excited about watching him. He has soft hands out of the backfield, so if you get the right quarterback combination in Scott Frost's system, if it's Adrian Martinez, you put Greg Bell to the right and left of him, and you put some of these receivers with speed, JT Spillman, Jerron Woodward, you put this length at the tight end position, this offense is going to be hard to stop, and defenses are going to be at odds and being a bind on how to stop this offense moving up and down the field.
Ralph, you're fired up, man. I mean, you love Nebraska football, and you support the program, and you've supported previous coaches. That said, man, there's an energy in your voice about what's here now.
Yeah, of course, and I'm just hyped because I know what Scott Frost brings to the table. I know the history he's had winning at Nebraska. I know the tutelage he's been under for all those years, and I know what he brings to the table. He's a blueprint guy. He knows what he's doing, and when you see a guy who knows what he's doing, knows how to build things, you see improvements right away, and we're seeing that right now at Nebraska with the recruiting, with the energy, with the Nebraska fan base, and we hadn't seen that with the previous coaches in Callahan, Pelini, you know, and sadly Riley as well, but Scott Frost knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to get from A to B, and you're seeing it right before your eyes.
One question here about the Nebraska job. You just listed the previous coaches, and it was a good story today in the World Herald by Dirk Chatelain on that Nebraska job, on the fishbowl, on the expectations, and Scott knows it. He's lived it as a player, and he's got Coach Osborne to lean on as a mentor from a coach and from a guy who knows the expectations. All that being said, it's still that the Nebraska gig's kind of it can be a monster. It can grind people down. It can grind coaches down. Do you think he'll be different than his predecessors when it comes to being able to handle it and not let the job and the expectations wear on him?
I believe so, and you got to think what we haven't had a coach at Nebraska who's from Nebraska, understands the tempo, knows how to move the needle, and just understands the fan base and what the state actually truly needs. Fellini didn't, Riley didn't, sadly, and Callahan didn't as well. So when you get to Scott Frost and what he's doing, he understands what the Nebraska fan base needs, what the state of Nebraska wants to hear. And that's why, as soon as he got here, he started talking about the walk-on program. None of our previous coaches were high on that. I loved it because those are the guys that I hung out with a lot with when I played on the team. And that's the foundation. You can't lose the guys from your state. And Scott knows exactly what he's talking about. He understands the big picture, and he will cover and touch on all the details building this program. I think he's the perfect guy, and I think he'll be with Nebraska for a long time.
A Merry Christmas to you, Ralph Brown, Hall of Famer and 10-year NFL vet at Ralph D. Brown. Ralph, we'll get caught up after the new year, bud. Thanks for a few.
Yeah, same to you. Merry Christmas, brother.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
One and down, hour one, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery Weekend Edition Holiday Special. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, Colton Stone. New Year's Eve is around the corner. Raise your glass with your friends at Wilderness Ridge. A special dinner menu, complimentary champagne toast, live music. It's where you need to be for New Year's Eve. From 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. open for lunch and dinner. And that dinner menu is something that you'll absolutely love to bring in 2018. Can make reservations today with Wilderness Ridge. Can dial them up 402-434-5118 or wildernessridgegolf.com. If you're a last minute shopper, no time like now to go get hooked up with some gift cards for that golf fan in your life with Wilderness Ridge. Kranick, a couple of parting shots here and thoughts for you as we wrap up this first hour. Discussing Nebraska's recruiting class for 18. More on Greg Bell. You've done quite a bit of research on him. And Ralph, pretty excited about the back he can be. You're excited about what he can do. But there's still work to be done, correct?
Well, and he had kind of an interesting high school career, too. He's out of the San Diego area. He had to transfer his last couple years in order to get touches. He was kind of a backup at his previous high school. Had a great senior year, was above 2,000 yards, was originally committed to San Diego State. But according to some articles, and they had a really good run his senior year too, advanced pretty far into the playoffs. And but his coach had to sit him for disciplinary reasons quite a bit, according to one article. During his senior year, where he was above 2,000 yards, so he ends up going to Yuma, and starts there, and shows some ability. I'm not saying he doesn't have ability; he does, but I'm a little hesitant to feel like this is the guy that's the savior that's coming in. That's all.
No, it's okay.
So we'll see.
No, we'll see. Absolutely. Brandon Vogel, will be with us. We'll hear from him at about 10 minutes, get his thoughts on the class, get his thoughts on John Cook, and Gary Sharp will be with us. More to come, hour two, on the way with Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranick.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, hour two, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick. Colton Stone, about 25 minutes away, the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. We start off the 8 o'clock hour, as always, with a tremendous writer and talent and author, Dream Like a Champion, with Coach John Cook. Hail Varsity's Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, Merry Christmas, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. We've spent the last hour just kind of combing through a lot of the recruits. Kranick's been all over that. Ralph Brown was
expert
part of the
analysis.
It is. Between Kranick and Ralph, expert analysis. and I've kind of kept my mouth shut, which is good for everybody. I want you to circle one guy of the signed that you're most excited about?
Well, that's an interesting. It's kind of tough to pick. I think, not to go with the obvious choice, but Adrian Martinez is pretty interesting when you start to kind of dig into his story a little bit, and certainly liked his film. I'm also really, really intrigued by David Alston. I don't know. He's probably got a little bit of time ahead of him before he can kind of grow into what I think he can be. But I think what I think he can be is a pretty high ceiling. So I'm interested to watch a guy like that. Those would be two that come immediately to mind.
Brandon, you had an excellent breakdown of the Fremont Elementary School. This has been traveling around social media. Fremont Elementary School, for their Christmas program, changes the words to Frosty the Snowman to Frosty the New Coach, which is really disturbing in some ways, but also very impressive. Your takeaway and your breakdown from these kids who were clearly being indoctrinated by their music teacher and singing a song about Scott Frost instead of singing a traditional holiday song.
Well, first of all, credit to the kids for the buy-in. They were all in on that. So, you know, you appreciate that. It's not easy leading a group of people, particularly young kids. So that was a good part. I think the thing that stuck out to me the most is I assume this was written by the music teacher there. Right. And whoever that person was, he or she seemed to have their finger on the pulse on most of the major, I guess, qualms, complaints, concerns with Husker football, in that the defense needs to not be afraid, need to run the ball. The language they use with Scott Frost in terms of here to save the day, we're glad you're here, we need you, are troubling words a little bit, but all pretty accurate. So for a 26-word little stanza there, they really covered a lot of ground and kind of got right to the core, I think, of what most Husker Nation felt here this December.
Listen, as a guy who's got an 11-year-old that the Christmas wish list has dwindled from, hey, I want an Amir jersey, I want a Rex jersey, I want a Kenny Bell jersey, to all Michigan State crap. The next wave of young Husker fans, and getting the old Christmas program behind it, the holiday winter singing and caroling associated with Nebraska to get the next season ticket holders in the next 25 years, right, fired up, I'm good with. Fine. Whether it took an extra cookie, some more hot chocolate, or just it was a twist to, yay, we're singing about Frosty the Snowman. Let's have a little more fun with it. I'm all right with it. You got to start somewhere, folks.
Oh, yeah, I loved it, too. And the crowd, based on their response, enjoyed it quite a bit as well. So all in all, great work. But like Mark said, you know, when you sit back and take a long look at it and be like, wow, this really is like everything. This is what we're about. You do have to at least pause a little bit. This is, you know, these are the holidays, a little bit of time for reflection too.
Right, because the thing is that it's not entirely unexpected. You know, it happens, and you're just sort of like, yeah, I could see that, because we're not well adjusted around here.
What's Frost's reactions? What I want to know is it immediately like he smiles and oh, that's sweet, or palm the forehead, oh my God, what am I? I'm going to get letters from second grade classes from now till the end of time.
I wondered a little bit about that as well, and I think you probably got a little bit of both those reactions of, you know, it is cute, and you're kind of like, oh, this is cool, this is what Nebraska's about, and then you're also kind of like, oh yeah, this is also like one of the things where I had reservations about, because I haven't even coached a game there yet, and they're already devoting Christmas carols to me. It certainly wasn't like that in Orlando.
No. Bogues, go ahead, Krennic.
No, just kidding. So with Scott Frost coming in, which is going to happen soon, and you're going to be able to watch watch his Central Florida team against Auburn, and then he'll be in for winter conditioning, and Nebraska will start up in the spring. We still don't have any dates for that yet. Your early read, it's obviously very early. He hasn't coached these guys at all yet. But your early read on this, on the sort of season and maybe how much he'll install or not install, like your early read on what you expect to see from Nebraska under this new regime in year one?
Well, I think, you know, right away as they get started again, I think you'll see a little bit more attrition probably than you did under Riley. You know, Frost has said it, and it doesn't seem like one of those sort of throwaway comments that you're just like, well, that's what everybody says. But, you know, I think it's going to be hard initially to sort of foster that buy-in. Not hard to foster the buy-in. They're going to make it purposely hard to find out who's really committed to progressing in this new direction. And that might mean some guys fall off. You know, that's always a possibility when you make a coaching change. I think they've got a little bit of leash to work with. You know, one of the interesting things from Frost's availability on Wednesday, on early signing day, he made mention of the record and how Nebraska, based on talent, wasn't a 4-8 team. And he did it in such a way that I didn't feel like he really threw the previous staff under the bus. It was just kind of factual to me, and I agree with him to a large degree there. So I think that gives them a little bit of room. They feel like they've got a little bit of talent, more talent, but the record's still 4-8. So when you play the kind of bizarre perception game, especially nationally for people who aren't in it every day, you know, you can win 6 games and technically have improved. Now, I don't know if Nebraska, I think they'll be better than a 6-win team probably, but we'll see. It'll be interesting to watch over the next couple months.
Vogue's a thought on Walters. He was with HSN, Troy Walters, offensive coordinator, and he said some pretty spot on things about what the offense's job is, the defense's job is, and again to that talent level. Based on what you've heard from him, he's taken over this offense along with Frost, obviously. And do you think they feel pretty good about circling where maybe the ceiling's at initially, to kind of follow up with Mark was asking? Yeah, you get 6 wins, that's better than 4. But, okay, do they look at this roster and then do they look at some of the kids they've brought in and say, okay, are they already starting to peg a number, or is it more just about the process and the results the result?
Yeah, I think it's probably more about the process. But, you know, what you saw or heard, I think, with that interview with Walters, and really from, I think, everybody we've heard from on the staff, there's just such a confidence in sort of what we do works, which is refreshing to see. And, you know, when you look back at the past 2 Husker coaches, for sure, and the number of changes you had there at the coordinator positions, just trying to do different things. Like, at least with this group coming in, you're kind of like, well, this is what we do. We know that it works, so we're going to start the process of getting us to that point. There's less indecision involved, less kind of going back and forth of, well, maybe if we were in this defensive scheme, we'd be a little bit better. They kind of know what they want to do. So you start out from a higher point. You jump ahead a couple of steps. And I think it'll make a big difference for Nebraska in terms of how quickly they're able to get up to speed under this new regime.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I've watched a little bit of the Central Florida Navy game on DVR. Went back and watched that. And I think it's a good one to watch with Central Florida because I out of all the American Athletic Conference teams, or all, out of all the teams that UCF played this year, you know, Navy is probably the closest thing to a Big Ten team in that they're defensively disciplined. Right. And play a very disciplined brand, which tests kind of the structure of your offense and all that. I don't know. It may be not the, I just can't think of anybody. I wouldn't say Memphis closely resembles Big Ten team. So it was good to see how they operate against them. And, you know, the thing you notice the most is, you know, you're trying to project who is in for the biggest kind of shock to the system. Out on offense, like which positions are just night and day different. And the thing that jumps out to me the most, and I just want to get your take, yes, quarterback, but offensive line is it doesn't even look like they're playing the same sport that Nebraska played this year. Entirely different philosophy, entirely different approach at offensive line. What have you seen with the little that you've seen Central Florida?
Yeah, that would have been my answer as well, because in terms of how much they asked their offensive line to move, to get out on the edge, you know, they're pulling guys from all over. And it's a really active offensive line compared to your Nebraska in the run game previously, you know, really wasn't and never kind of got the core runs it wanted working to any sustainable degree. So that's going to be a change for some of those guys. You know, you've got a lot of experience coming back, but for the guys who kind of can't or won't do that, that aren't kind of agile enough to get out and do those things, I think you could see a lot of turnover there, even though you do return all starters on the offensive line. Because it's a different way to, you know, put it in a basketball analogy, instead of sort of an ISO offense, you're kind of coming up and, you know, running this motion type of offense. So it'll be interesting, you know, it'll be interesting to see if any of those guys' bodies change in the one off season some of the veteran guys have. You know, it's not easy to do at that point, but I think for some guys that probably is going to have to happen.
Vogues, with the teleconference Wednesday from Frost, there's a quote, "I think fans are too impatient now, and they think you're just going to solve all the problems on a roster in a program by going out and signing this kid or that kid and plugging him in and playing. There's a lot of work to be done." That's been his base statement. Work's got to happen. But the way they want to go about it is, yeah, it's going to be intense. There's going to be a lot of hard work, but they are hell bent on like attitude adjustment, aren't they? Enjoying this grind, and that's something that Frost has been able to tap into at Central Florida, and he wants to do it in Nebraska. And even when he was OC at Oregon, the whole working for a purpose type thing, and seeing the results. I think that's where he'll be able to connect. Do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I, you know, all this X's and O's stuff is interesting, and I, you know, I enjoy talking about it and I enjoy thinking about it. But this first season, as it almost always is about sort of setting that culture. And, you know, it'll start here in a couple of weeks when that staff's done with the Peach Bowl. And, you know, it's going to be a big change on that front. It's probably going to be a bigger change there than anything they ask the players to do once they're on the field in a game. And that's good because, you know, we've talked about it numerous times over the years. You've got to have that. You got to have sort of the core reason that you're showing up to do this. And I think Nebraska's current players are going to find out what that is in the very first few days they have with this staff in winter conditioning.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You know, it's always the question going into a year, what's going to happen at quarterback? I sort of feel like Frost is inheriting a pretty good situation at quarterback, and Nebraska has any number of options. Do you see it that way, or do you see it as, oh, no, there's three guys on the roster that have nothing to do with what he wants to do, and he's going to have to, you know, rely on the true freshmen?
No, I don't view it that way. I think there's enough there. Martinez is probably the truest fit based on what they've done in the past, but that's okay. I think the staff has earned, at least in my mind, they have enough sort of benefit of the doubt to say, well, if Tanner Lee happens to be the guy, they'll figure out a way to make that offense work around him. If it's Tristan Jebbia or Patrick O'Brien, somebody like that, they'll figure out a way to make it work. You know, we saw it. To Mike Riley's credit, he probably did this better with Tommy Armstrong in that first year he was at Nebraska than we noticed at the time. That was Nebraska's best offensive team of that regime. And so, you know, it's there. Like, they can take pieces of this offense and what they want to do, and I think still get done what they're hoping to in terms of building for the future, while maybe having to limit things and run things based on whichever quarterback they have now. So I do think they're okay on that regard.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, what's happening with the magazine? And tell us where folks can get Dream Like a Champion, your book with John Cook, and just a final thought on Cook's title. I mean, it was incredible last weekend, and it was just big time with how Nebraska brought home the natty, as we say.
Yeah, it was a pretty remarkable team win. It reminded me a little bit of some of those San Antonio Spurs teams that don't often come up in the greatest ever conversations, but probably should in terms of just the – when you look at the raw sort of materials they had and how it all came together, pretty remarkable. As far as the book, it's still available via Amazon. It's getting a little sparse in, I think, Lincoln and Omaha in terms of – the Barnes & Noble and whatnot, but it is going back for a second printing. And probably a third was the latest I've heard. So that's all been very good, and thanks to anyone who's bought it at this point. So excited about all that. You know, pretty remarkable achievement for Coach Cook. I've tried to leave him alone post-title and let him bask in it, but I'll be interested to talk to him maybe after the first year and kind of see where it ranks for him in terms of the four titles he now has.
That was kind of a long way of saying that you're rich now. I mean, you're just like loaded. How's it feel?
If you want to get rich, do not try to do it through selling books. At least that's been my experience. So, but no, it's very good. A lot of books you never make it to a second printing, so that was enough for me. Pretty excited about that.
Well, I've got my book signed by John Cook and Brandon Vogel. So, I'm jacked.
You what were my feelings if you white out my name? It probably increased the value a little.
No, not at all. I mean, I've got it. It's impressive. I stood in that enormous line, knowing that it's going to be a payoff title season. I didn't speak up about it, but I just knew it was going to happen, folks.
You were ahead of me then. As we were writing that last year, I was like, man, it'd be really great for the book if they could finish off this 2016 title. Little did I know that it'd be even better if they could win the 2017 title.
Right.
So, things worked out in the end.
They did. Vogues, Merry Christmas to you and your family, man. Thanks for all you do, bud.
Have fun being rich.
There he is. Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine.
He's loaded. You know, he's known for his fashion, right?
Of course, like, he is. He's known for everything. Vogues is special. Right.
Yeah, he'll roll up to Husker game days sporting like a legit smoking jacket, maybe a fedora, right? Like he'll put it down. I think it's going to be all like sequins and bling and all that now that he's loaded.
When I think of Vogues, I think of bling.
Yeah, exactly. I just look for that. He's going to have diamond.
He's going to have his own turnover chain.
Yeah, right. Just rolling up like what? Uh-huh. This is what happens when you get a bestseller.
He's great. He's awesome. And totally. Hail Varsity Magazine, of course, you have the Frost issue that's been out. Still a chance for you to subscribe and take care of that Nebraska fan, 855-3-HUSKER, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Also, no time like now to subscribe to the premium content on the website. Just phenomenal group of folks on the message board to talk and chat Nebraska stuff. Derek Peterson's incredible, Jacob Padilla, Greg Smith on recruiting, and Vogues. I mean, just an awesome array of talent, Aaron Babcock and what he does in the photography's in just insane, especially from that title run down in Kansas City. And I think a volleyball issue is going to be coming out as well to celebrate the championship. So think about doing that if you're just asking yourself, what do I get to Uncle Ed, the Nebraska fan? Hail Varsity subscription would be wonderful. If you're going out this weekend, enjoy yourself, be safe, plan ahead, and get that sober ride home. You get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI that could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time, and you'll be required to install that interlock device to your vehicle. So when you're making plans this holiday season, find that sober ride home. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation Highway Safety Office. A quick timeout. The Iron Horse up next. Gary Sharp joins us on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, weekend edition, cruising through on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mr. Mark Kranak, and 80s action star Colton Stone. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, Sharpie Claws, this time of year. Gary, Merry Christmas, bud. How are you?
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys and your families and all your listeners as well.
Appreciate you. Okay, signing day happened. Frost has been pretty adamant about not trying to overhype it. They had a small window in comparison to a lot of programs. Nebraska did what? How do you grade the class so far?
Considering when this staff was hired and what the class lost and what they had to do, not knowing the roster real well, I think they did a really good job. I think they got their starting running back. I think they got their starting middle linebacker. I think they got their starting quarterback. They got one of the wide receivers that will fill that room pretty well with speed. I think they did a really good job initially addressing needs and furthering relationships that they'd already made. So I think if you look at this class, you have to be impressed by how quickly they were able to assemble, identify, haul in, and then also reel in some other guys, some guys that look like Big Ten November players like Greg Bell or Will Honus. I think the Will Honus one, and I've said this, he's the one guy in this class that if he said yes, I would stand up and clap. So Thursday when he said yes, I stood up and clapped because he's a guy that fits a need. You're replacing Chris Weber. But you also went from, I got some trepidation about playing middle linebacker in a 3-4, to Barrett Rood convincing him that he can make a living playing out of the 3-4 at that position. And you beat Wisconsin and Iowa, so you don't have to see him twice a year. They're going to have to see him twice a year. So I think it's a passing grade for Nebraska, and now it sets up pretty well. They know exactly what they need, whether it be the defensive backfield, wide receivers, a tackle, a rush end, more linebackers. They know now what they need to finish up this class, but very good for Nebraska.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Hey, on your show, you guys were talking about it this week, about the expected roster size for Nebraska. And it's funny, you go back, you know, you even look at, Big Red Wrap-Up after Minnesota when Matt Davison was on, and knowing that there was a lot of work behind the scenes at the time, he mentioned it on Big Red Wrap-Up that we need to have the largest roster in America, right? And you guys were talking about this. How many people are you expecting, I guess when Scott Frost hits his peak, it might not happen this year, how many are you expecting them to carry, and what does that do for Nebraska, both recruiting and otherwise?
Well, at first, I would hope that they would fill all 65, or all 85, I beg your pardon, fill all 85 scholarships. When was the last time Nebraska kicked off a season and all 85 were full? I hope they do that first. Now, I know like 160 has been thrown out there. I think Nebraska could get 130 to 140. So you figure you got 85 scholarship players and you've got 45 to 50 walk-ons. I think that's a good mix for what they want to do. But if you're going to have that large of a roster, you also have to have a plan in place where you don't have people standing around. We all know that competition makes everybody better. And if you have stations and everybody's constantly moving, it not only helps with competition for guys that are going to be on the front end, it also is a nice recruiting tool for people that are thinking about walking on, that it's not just standing on the sidelines and watching other people practice that you're going to be involved. I think there's some stuff you have to manage with that large of a roster, but it sounds like Bill Moose is on board as well, that if Scott Frost wants to have a large roster and it forces Nebraska to possibly add a women's sport, that he's for it. So he's already gotten that, already cleared that hurdle. But it'll be interesting to see moving forward. But I think to get back to your original question, Mark, I could see probably
150 by year three, I would think.
That's impressive, and you need the bodies to get the development in where no one's on a knee, as Coach Frost has said. Gary, you do a lot with Metro Sports, and you've seen a number of the kids that ended up getting the preferred walk-on offer and saying yes, and you've got a really talented, it looks like, walk-on class from the Metro area or just in general with the kids who said, yeah, I want to walk on and I want to try and earn a scholarship. Who stands out from the walk-on group in class Nebraska got?
Well, I think A.J. Forbes of Bellevue West is a really good pickup. And then I think Chris Cassidy at Pius X, who not a lot of people talked about because Pius didn't have this top three season. They were a really good team. But Chris Cassidy is a really good football player. Matt Masker surprised me a bit because he had an opportunity. He was an invited walk-on to South Dakota State. He had a chance to go to other places, but he said yes to Nebraska. But here in the Metro, Brody Belt as well is another guy that stands out. I think Nebraska, they got a bounce here where they're getting players that probably would end up at the Dakotas or a Division II or an NAIA school in the state are going to Nebraska. Now, I think the in-state Division II and the NAIA schools are the ones that are going to suffer with this increased attention on trying to get Nebraska kids to walk on, because they would be going to those schools and they would be playing. Now, if Scott Frost can get it going, they're coming to Nebraska to play. But it's an impressive list so far. I think it's really amazing how much coordination and organization and just grit and grind the staff from people that are on field to off field have been able to do in a short amount of time to put all this together from a walk-on event to put together your early signing period class last week.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska recruiting as the early signing period has come and gone. I'm curious about this. Do you think they're going to move that early signing period date? I guess I just don't understand. The next one is in early February, so you're like, it's a month and a half early. I just don't understand why you would do that. Wouldn't you want more space between the two signing periods?
Well, it's, you know, we've kind of, and I think this week was kind of muted. I thought it would be a little bit bigger. The Big Ten Network was smart, and they went with 7 hours of coverage, and you see the Big Ten has really amped it up in terms of recruiting. There weren't many ceremonies. It was kind of like most of the commitments were in before 11 a.m., with everybody not knowing how this is going to work, I think they want to keep the traditional February first Wednesday signing day. But I will be interested to see what happens with this time period, if they move it up or keep it. There's just a lot of unknown. But there aren't many coaches that were complaining about this happening. So we'll see the fallout, and we'll see if there's coaching changes, if there's movement. But what I think you'll have happen in the last month, it will be the OK Corral, because the big boys – who still have some spots open, now everybody knows who's available, and everybody's going to be shooting for them. That's why I'm curious also about Nebraska. Does Nebraska go back into some of the relationships they've already built in a short amount of time, or do they try and establish some new ones shooting for some of the higher-end guys that are still available? But I was surprised that it was kind of muted over Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I was expecting a big old day on Wednesday in terms of what we get in February, and it just wasn't there. But I'm also a guy, guys, that would love, if you are offered a scholarship and you want to sign, go ahead and sign. You don't need a day. Just, you have a time period from, I don't know, June 1 to February 1, that if you're offered a scholarship and you want to take it, you go ahead and sign.
That'd be a nice option. And the evaluation and the execution's extremely impressive by Frost in Nebraska. Gary, what's your thoughts on this? You mentioned BTN, and Coach DiNardo mentioned this to us this week, that, and he knows Nebraska because he was at Colorado for forever trying to beat Nebraska, and he's very complimentary of how cutting-edge Nebraska was with strength and conditioning and with how they practiced and just, you know, the physicality they had. And kind of the new Nebraska he sees, A, is you've got an excitement level for kids across the country with this Frost offense. They want to come play in his offense. They like it. But the other thing that he touched on that's allowed in the Big Ten, I want your take on this, Nebraska going the partial qualifier route. You can do that in the Big Ten. That was an advantage Nebraska had. You covered the teams that won championships and had a number of partial qualifiers that graduated. I mean, they did their job. They graduated. They're really good players. Do you think Nebraska looks at that again?
Possibly. I think all angles are open for this staff. I think you look back the last 3 years, and I don't want to open up an old scab, but the fact that Nebraska did not have the ability to go recruit junior college players, whether it be from up above or whether at comfort level, that this staff comes in and they grab the number one linebacker and number one running back in the junior college class, it frustrates you, but it also shows you that this staff will explore any angle to be successful, whether it be jumping in the junior college route or, like you mentioned, Smitty, to look at if that's a possibility for Nebraska. I don't think anything is off limits for Nebraska looking for angles to get Nebraska back to where they want to be. Because remember, back 20 years ago when Scott Frost was around here, and I think he's using the same formula but with his twist on it, they were cutting edge. They stayed ahead of everybody else. And so they'll explore every avenue, whether it be on the field or off the field, to help improve this football program. But that might be opening up a can of worms around the country if you get back into partial qualifiers and how that will be handled by the NCAA and how teams may use or abuse it.
Well, and real quick, because Coach said that, you know, you can't take partial qualifiers in the SEC, and that blew me away. But yet the Big Ten, I'm not saying you load up and take a ton of partial qualifiers, but if it's the right talent, you look at it, don't you? I mean,
I think everything is open. Yeah. I think you're looking for every advantage to be successful. And that's strange to say because it appears the last 3 years that wasn't the case.
Gary Sharp with this, Hail Varsity Radio. I know you talk strength and conditioning a lot. It's an excellent topic when it relates to Nebraska. Are there a couple guys that stand out to you that you think will really transform how they look and therefore how they perform? There are two guys that jump out to me in particular. I think Muhammad Berry, I don't know what the hell they did with him, but he doesn't look anywhere like he used to look in high school, and he doesn't look comfortable in the body that he's walking around in. And then I think on offense, Mikhail Wilbon is another guy that I think they've got a little too thick, and he could probably, and it looks like he maybe even lost a little speed because of it. Those are two guys that jump out. Are there any guys that jump out that you think, should they stick through the transition, if they're all on board, that will transform the most and benefit the most because of it?
Well, I think I'll group the entire offensive line. If you look at Central Florida's offensive line, they kind of look like basketball players because of what they're asked to do as an offensive line. So there's some guys that are going to have to transform their body from being awful bulky to, I'm not going to say slender, but more sleek-looking. I also think I'm very curious on the off-the-field and on-the-field what they do with Freedom. You know, his body has kind of, in the last couple of years, changed a lot. What do they want him to do? I think Zach Duvall will take him, and do they turn him into a sleek Russian with his body? Also, another guy to keep an eye on, and it's also for his on-field, what they'll be able to do with him. I'm curious to see what they do with Avery Roberts in terms of what size they want him to play at. Because I think Avery Roberts is one of those players that's going to get a fresh start under this staff, and that finally the guy that we were anticipating last year will be able to step through. But one thing for sure is when we see these guys in spring, there will be some guys that I believe, especially offensive linemen, that will look entirely different. But I think the other big thing of strength and conditioning and changing guys' bodies is Nebraska really, oddly, the last few years, as the season went along, guys' bodies got worse. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Central Florida and the way they played, and they just went through a grind where they played 11 straight weeks, guys' bodies didn't get worse. They either stayed the same or they got a little bit better. I think that'll be an advantage for Nebraska because, boy, you got to end of October and guys just did not look the same like they did when the season started against Arkansas State.
Yeah, you know, hey, Gary, just real quick follow. It's funny you bring up Avery Roberts, and then I brought up Muhammad Berry. I don't know who's at fault here. I don't know if it was a Devaney thing, a Diaco thing. Have you noticed this too? I've been very confused at how they select who plays inside linebacker versus who plays outside. For instance, Muhammad Berry coming out of high school, are you thinking inside linebacker? Same with Dedrick Young. Are you thinking that's an inside guy? Avery Robert? Have you been confused by that too?
Well, and I think that became a power struggle between Diaco and Bray on where guys are going. And I don't believe they were on the same level on identifying players and saying, this guy's better if he's on the outside, or, hey, this guy is better if he's inside. We can't have him playing outside. But then it became a power struggle. That's another element, and that's a great point, Mark, is where guys will be placed. There's a lot of decisions to be made on, like, a Chris Walker. Nebraska could be down a couple, could be down a tackle, So what do you do with Chris Walker? He wants to play defense, but he spent the whole year on offensive line. Some of those linebackers, do you shift them outside? Do you move them inside? Do you move guys up? What do you do? That's a great discussion that'll go on once this staff gets on the ground. They start figuring out guys, but you're absolutely right. There was some mismanagement at linebacker from where guys were playing. Like, we will see this year a guy named Andre Ward. He had him inside. He looks to me as a guy that can play outside.
Right. Same with Barry. Same with Young. It's been very confusing on how they select that. And I'm glad you brought up Chris Walker, because if you look at how Nebraska will play offensive line now, getting guys out, they're pooling almost every single play. Somebody is, anyways. That's sort of Walker's thing, right? Like, I like him better on defense, but now knowing this is the type of offense that they're going to run, all of a sudden that might be a fit.
Yeah, and you might have a short room with tackles, which you kind of do now, so you might not be able to move a guy out of that room if you don't get anybody in the second half of your signing period.
Sharpie, I'll get you out of here on this, and thanks again for your time. From a buy-in, right now you've had recruiting, you've had coaching of Central Florida, and after the Auburn game, it's Frost and his staff at Nebraska. And what's the vibe? Have you heard anything? Do you have a feel with the current roster? They've admitted they don't know a ton about the roster. They've examined it a little bit. They've had to in reference to recruiting. But do you think the guys that are back are excited about Frost and company? And when it comes to buy-in, we all know how difficult and different it was, Bo to Mike. But now with these guys that they're coming off a 4-8 season, do you think they're excited for a new voice? And that's not to disrespect guys on the previous staff or the previous head coach. It is what it is. It's different. Do you think they'll be more apt to listen and do it their way?
Well, I'll leave you with this discussion I had with a player that played a lot last year that is returning this year on the defensive side of the football. And this was Saturday night in Lincoln after they announced Scott Frost at the beginning of the Nebraska-Kansas game. And there was such a roar for him. And I ran into him at halftime, and we were talking about Scott Frost and moving forward in 2018. And he said, it's been interesting that the recruits that were coming on campus the first 2 weeks knew more about the staff than the current players did, just because, they haven't really spent any time with the current players. And then this player told me, he goes, the biggest thing that there's two big things that will happen as the season unfolds. He admitted that they became soft last year, that it was a grind, it was all downhill mentally, some guys checked out. He said the prevailing sentiment among some of the upperclassmen is you can't let Scott Frost down, that he is such a big name here, and he's come back, and there is so many expectations for him to get the job done, that there are upperclassmen that don't want to let him down, and they don't even know him. And so now they don't want to let Scott Frost down. They don't want to let Nebraska down. And one other point that was interesting is we see this in the transition from a fired coach to the new staff, is the seniors get lost. How many times will we, and you work with him, Schmitty, Jay Moore. People forget how good a football player Jay Moore was at Nebraska because he was in a transition. And then people want to forget that team. How many people will forget kind of DeMornay Personnel or Chris Brown? Guys that were on a team that didn't do so well, coach got fired, he moved on to a new staff. This person told me they don't want to be those people. They want to be known, but they're playing for Scott Frost. They feel that they have to uphold their end of the bargain because Scott Frost will uphold his end of the bargain on what he's been telling them. I think that's pretty powerful, and I hadn't heard that for a couple of years, to have players have that almost immediate respect for a coach that they don't really know in person. They know more from the media and the fans that have talked about him.
That's pretty awesome. Great stuff. Sharpie, Merry Christmas to you and your family, bud. Thanks for the time today.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Take care. All right. Quick time out. We'll wind down a Saturday on Hail Varsity.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?!
One final time, and time for you today to go see Rick and Sauter Heyman. 0% interest financing through 2020. Get that lovely wife, girlfriend, or maybe future wife, something she'll love. Pure Grown Diamonds, Earth Mine Diamonds available. And 0% interest financing, that's one heck of an option for you this holiday season. 1 carat diamonds, $99 down, $99 a month for Santa Rick and Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. Yeah, the diamond choices, of course, but also pendants, earrings, necklaces, bracelets. So much to choose from. 0% interest financing with Rick in Sauter Heyman through 2020. And those 1 carat diamonds, $99 down, $99 a month. That is a winner. Kranak, busy weekend as I'm sure Santa will see the Kranak house. Not sure what you're getting, but your wife and family are incredible. I like you too, but
thanks.
I just know where to hedge the bet with who's getting more and getting what.
Yeah. What do you get at this age anymore, right? I mean, what do you do?
Nothing.
What are you asking
for? You give is what happens, and that's fine. That's what it's about.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm getting. I don't even know what to ask for.
No, I don't. I'm not getting anything,
Chris. I'm fulfilled.
Right. I mean, it's coal every year, and someday it'll turn into a diamond. Okay.
And I kind of understand the whole like socks and slippers thing now. You know, like. Yeah, I could go for a good pair of slippers. My feet are cold right now. I ain't got no slippers.
Well, you have your dog hasn't trashed your slippers, right?
No.
See, if I get slippers, my freaking dog will. I'll need slippers next year again. So
maybe a robe.
That'd be nice.
Is it robe time yet?
I think I got my wife a robe last year. It's a little frightening, but I mean, you know.
Yeah. I hope she didn't hear that. That sounds.
She's working.
Okay. So she's not streaming?
I hope not. Kranak, love you, man. Hey, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, brother.
See. All right, Colton, you're awesome. We'll talk to you next time on Hail Varsity.